Chris in Fremont lead us off at 888-957-9570. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
We hear you great, Chris. Let it out, man.
All right. I'm going through the Fremont grade. No, okay.
No, for real, dude. For real.
Hey, all right. Got a hammer Shanahan for you. Is that what you want? You want me to hammer Sorensen? You want me to hammer all these guys? You know, I was trying to call and have a dialogue. I wanted to have a little discourse with you for once, Mark. So I actually don't want to hammer everybody. I know we got some roster issues. I know that Nick Sorensen did not show up. I think long-term he's going to get scapegoated just like Wilkes did. There's personnel issues. Let's just go back a decade, 7 years since they've been here, and even 15 years back when we had Kyle Williams returning punts. What has consistently been the issue with the Niners? The coverage in the secondary. They have repeatedly been burned in big games, so they've never really addressed the secondary. Charvarius Ward is completely overrated. He was not an all-pro last year. I don't care what the PFF says. He's a big physical guy. He gets routed by these faster, quicker receivers. So the coverage has been an issue for a decade. Special teams, okay? You drafted a kicker in the third round. I'm not out on Moody. I'm aware he made two big 50-yarders in the Super Bowl, but that's your guy that you drafted in the third round. Kyle, he is a glorified coordinator. He is not a genius. He's not even the best coach in our division. And now this McConnell guy coming from Baltimore, he might have something to say about that by the year's end, too. So he's a head coach, right? I call him a glorified coordinator because guess what, Kyle? You are in charge of these special teams that has repeatedly cost them games since they've been here for the last 7 years. Okay, secondary. And then you talk about the trenches. Oh, no, we're fine with Colton McKibben. You lucked into Brock Purdy being a dynamic quarterback who can extend plays with his feet. And you're telling me that you can't get anybody on this offensive line? You traded for Trent. You're lucky you had a relationship with him in Washington. You finally drafted this Pooney kid who looks like a player. But the secondary, the special teams, and the trenches have still continued to be an issue. Every single year they have been in charge. Let me ask you a question, Mark, because I know, everyone calls you a Kyle Shanahan apologist.
Shanahan. I prefer Shanahan. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, all right, we'll call you a Shanahan, baby, a Shanahan. But let me ask the question, and then I'll let you guys go with it.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I am. I'm livid. Do you think that special teams and all of these, do you think that falls under Kyle's umbrella as well? Or is he just the guy out here calling the plays? Because if that special teams, which to me falls under the umbrella of head coach, why is fielding punts and covering basic things such an issue? Kick the ball out of the end zone.
Well,
I know we're far away. Just don't even let them return it.
Okay, so
why is this an issue, Mark?
Yeah, of course. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
My gosh, great passion.
You asked him to let it out.
And he did.
I think that's only part of what he had in him to let out. But
well, I mean, we got a lot of people.
Chris.
Yeah, we got a lot of people that want to let it out. So,
yeah.
Look, the quick answer to the question, Chris, is yes. Yes, he's the boss. He's the boss. So he's in charge of everything. It's like Sepp Blatter. He's the president of everything.
Nice.
Okay? Some people got that reference. But anyway, but I would also, I would come back with this. You, Chris, listen to Willard and Dibbs. If in any given moment or any given day you think that we have a crappy show, you don't like what we're talking about or you don't like what we're saying, do you think to yourself, Nahigian? Do you do that? Just a question. So,
I mean, you can.
You can.
Right.
And yes, he's the boss, although he's got bosses too. So does Kyle.
Sure.
The reason I bring that up is to say, again, the initial answer is yes. Yes. He is in charge of putting the people in place who then need to do their job. So the answer, and maybe it's an unsatisfying one, is just sort of an across-the-board yes. Is that on Kyle's plate? Yes. Is it on the people below him's plate? Yes. You have to be able to delegate, and that when it doesn't work, it comes back to the boss. When the offense doesn't work, we go to the quarterback, don't we? Even if somebody missed a block. So I get that, and that is fair. However, I do want to just ask that we all spend some time looking at everybody. It's all under Kyle's umbrella.
Right.
So it's on Kyle. But at the same time, like the same way we did with Steve Wilks last year, we're going to look at Nick Sorensen. We're going to look at the special teams. And I'd also add that special teams for the Niners during Kyle is sort of like defensive athleticism for Farhan and the Giants. It's this one thing that they always talk about, and they say they prioritize, and they're going to do a better job with it, but in the end, they don't, and they think the rest of their team will cover up for it. And so, yes, I share your frustration on that.
Well, and it feels more frustrating now than ever before, because you look at yesterday, and the big punt return was a huge moment in the game, and forget the fact that you saw that there was a fake punt maybe coming and you did nothing about it other than hope that your special teams could stop a guy, a running back running 6 yards, which you couldn't. I'm looking at net punting average, and they had the stat in the game yesterday. And right now the Niners are 32nd out of 32 in net punting average, which means how far does the kick go and how far do they return it? They're averaging 32.5 yards per punt net. And 31st in football is 37.7.
Damn, so this
you're
big
5 yards worse than the second worst team in football. Last year, just for reference, they were 5th in football in net punting average. So something's happened between then and now. I know it's a small sample, 3 games in, but your punt game this year has been awful through 3 games.
Yeah.
Dead last.
Yeah.
And it reared its ugly head yesterday with a 30-plus yard return when the one thing you couldn't do in that moment was give up a big return, and you did.
Yep. And those are the two that get me are the late return and the fake punt that you were expecting and still couldn't cover it. I don't care who's on the field. If you're expecting something, you ought to be able to stop it. And you couldn't. The Moody miss, yes, it's part of the umbrella, but we don't come after coaches because somebody pulled a 55-yard field goal and he hadn't missed yet this year. Like, he missed a field goal. Yes, does he have a problem with missing some of the ones that really, really, really super matter?
Oh.
Yeah, and that's an issue. That's an issue. Justin Tucker is hooking 43-yard field goals, and he's supposed to be the greatest thing that's ever lived.
He's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Which kickers don't go to the Hall of Fame very often, right. But he's one of them. Moody, as a third-round pick, that unfortunately is part of his ledger, and
no doubt.
Part of his resume, and you used a third-round pick on a kicker, and he doesn't seem to have the ability to make the big kick when you need the big kick made. That was a big kick yesterday.
That was
a big
kick.
And I know he had 2 50-yarders in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like he's hit some big kicks. But starting with Cleveland last year, it feels like when you're like, dude, we need this one, the record's not perfect. And so, yes, that's an issue. I'm just saying, coming out of yesterday, what's like special teams offensive? The fake punt and the return are higher on my list than Jake Moody missed a kick.
But if you wanted to rank the 10 plays that were most offensive in the game, those three probably are in your top 10.
They all make the list. Yes.
Right, and those are special teams plays. And we could talk about 2 ghastly PI plays and the Juszczyk hold, which I'm never going to be one to criticize officials. That was one where I thought, okay, I mean, we're going to call that as a hold, fine. It might have been a little bit of a grabby grab.
Rams got hit with a couple of those too. So like that, you
get Ronnie Bell drops, Brandon Ayuk drops. Mm-hmm. Those were for me bigger plays even than the Moody miss. But if Moody makes the kick with 2:43 to go and you go up 10, you win the football game.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Rob in San Jose is next. Hi, Rob. You're on with Willard and Dibs.
What's up? What's up? Yeah, you could definitely go to a host of different players yesterday. The special teams. But I'm kind of going to piggyback on Shanahan and play calling in fourth quarters, late in games. It don't look the same. It doesn't look the same as when he has them scripted. When we are in close games in the fourth quarter, we do not just consistently, continuously move the ball, be creative, scheme guys open like we do earlier in games. And when you combine that with a defense that continually gives up fourth quarter leads, gives up big plays. It's a recipe for losing to a winless Rams team. And even though Sam Darnold's having a great year, your backup quarterback last year.
So here's all I would say about that, Rob. Rob, thank you very much. Look, he's the head coach, and I know everybody's favorite topic, similar to Steve Kerr in rotations. The day after a Niner game, it's Kyle Shanahan and play calling. I personally, this is just me, and it's not about Shanahan, it's any head coach. I personally think there's a flaw in that sort of argument. It doesn't mean that every play call is ever and always right, but like, we only get frustrated with play calling when it doesn't work. And so there's a very hindsight 2020 thing where we go, oh, after the fact, it didn't work, you should have done this. And I would clearly argue, if what you're mad about late in the game is play calling, you don't get mad at Kyle Shanahan, get mad at Ronnie Bell. Now, if you want to get mad at Kyle Shanahan for having Ronnie Bell in the game, now I think you're having a more fair conversation. But you can't get mad at Kyle for either lack of aggression or not thinking through the process when a ball hit a professional wide receiver literally in between the hands, and if he had missed it, it would have hit him in the face. And that would have ended the game, because you go from long field goal to chip shot field goal, ball game over, and he dropped it. I don't, like, those are the things that get me. I know that's only one play.
Yeah.
But, like you've said it already today, too, you want to come down the road for Kyle and play calling? Offense was moving the ball yesterday.
Right.
That's not where the 49ers lost this game.
And everybody wants him to run the ball when they get the lead. And I'm looking at the drive when they have a 7-point lead and they get the ball back after the Rams get a touchdown. And I see Mason, Garendo, couple of sneaks from Purdy, Mason. They ran the ball a ton. And, you know, they get down to 3rd and 1 at the 7. And actually 2nd and 2 at the 8. We talked about it. 2nd and 2 at the 8. And Mason's had a pretty good game. And we all know that they're a run-first team. So we want him to run it. But they don't get it. He gets a yard. Now it's 3rd and 1 at the 7.
Try again.
Exactly. Nobody wants him to throw it in that spot. Correct. And so they run it again. And, well, the offensive line doesn't do its job. And he loses 2. And now it's 4th and 3. And you have to kick a field goal.
I did say out loud. On the 3rd and short.
Yep.
This is where you hard play action fake and slip Saubert into the end zone.
Yeah.
Would have loved to see it tried. Don't know how it would have worked. Maybe it wouldn't have worked, but I would have loved that, because you're right. Everybody in the building knew Jordan Mason up the middle.
Right.
So, like, man, play action fake and slip Saubert through the back of the line of scrimmage. He might have been standing by himself in the end zone.
And Mark Sanchez, as much as I was critical of his, hey, look at me, I'm funny, his analysis on that play was spot on, because when you look at the replay, the Rams had every single gap covered along the front. So they're expecting run, so they cover every gap between every offensive lineman, and they've got linebacker support behind it, and you run it anyway, and you lose 2. You could look at that play call and say, well, maybe they should have gone play action, or they should have, you know, called timeout or do something else, because that one was just a run right into the front.
Yep. 888-957-9570. It's you all day. Let it out. Just let it out. You're going to feel better. Joe in San Jose. Hi, Joe. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. I just want to say, these past 2 games, I only got 2 words: frustration, sensation.
Yes, sir.
That's a buck.
I'll pay that one for you, Joe.
Totally.
I mean, I want to talk about identity. I think, I don't know what's going on with Kyle. I think he appears to be a little shook ever since McCaffrey ended up being put on the IR. That first week they came out, McCaffrey wasn't officially on the IR. He hammered Mason, 28 touches in the game. Then Mason, I'm also wondering if Mason's a little bit in Kyle's doghouse after the interview debacle and all of that stuff that caused that problem. I don't know what's going on, but it seems to me that Shanahan is something's changed with the way he's operating the run game, and I don't know what's going on with that.
Joe, what do you see in there? Because since the interview debacle, which led to nothing. No punishment whatsoever. And Mason has had 37 carries since then. and clearly been a lead dog. I'm curious as to why you think something's going on there.
Well, that's 37 carries in two games. Within the first game, he had 28.
Well,
the first game, he had 28.
Yeah, you're playing with a sizable lead in that first game, so you're right.
I'm just wondering that since McCaffrey has been put on the IR, if that's caused Shanahan to have a little lack of faith and not hammer Mason as much and go to this Garendo kid a bit more because he doesn't have faith in the depth of his run game. And I don't know. I prefer Mason. I think Mason is incredible. And I agree with the first caller. Our trenches suck right now. Really, really bad. And the O-line is not doing their job. Thank God for Purdy. Purdy is beautiful. But he's not getting the protection that he needs. And they're not doing what they need. We're losing that war up front on both sides of the ball. And we're paying these guys big money. I hope, with Ayuk, for example, he got his bag. I hope we're not seeing a Jordan Poole or Andrew Wiggins thing where now I got my money, I'm going to, like, dial down my intensity. I'm not sure what's going on. It's probably the camp thing, like you guys have been talking about. They need to be in camp, and it shows, and we're suffering because of it.
Joe, thank you so much. My guess, If Kyle is, and again, game flow has a lot to do with this, but if he is knowingly lowering Jordan Mason's carries once Christian goes on IR, it's because of the realization that you don't need Mason for one game or two. You might need him for 17. He might be your lead back the whole year.
Right.
And so we're not doing 28 carries every weekend.
No, and I didn't see that on the rewatch. Yeah. What I saw was Jordan Mason at least once, if not twice, go to the sideline and give the signal of, like, I need a blow. And I'm looking at the Niners' first touchdown drive of the second half where Mason goes for 13 and he asks out of the game, which, fine. Garendo goes for 5. Garendo goes for 4. Third and 1, Mason comes back in.
Yeah.
Mason goes for 21.
Yeah, you got to spell the guy.
Exactly. So he took two plays off, and boom, third and 1, Jordan.
And they like Garendo. We want to see Garendo. Garendo, by the way, his one carry in Minnesota we didn't like, looked a lot better yesterday, right?
A lot better, yep.
Yeah.
I would say four of the five carries were good. There was one where it looked a little bit like, okay, Isaac, let's hit the hole a little bit.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a
young
kid.
Player, yeah.
He's
like, he looked much better.
He's a kid. Like, I mean, I thought that was a good step for Garendo's career yesterday. How about Jonathan in the city? Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, man. I just want to say, man, I told you guys, and I've been calling this station for years, that wide nine gap team is trash. Gotta go. Special team is unspecial. I don't know what's the fix, but you could start with defense. Because how are you a running team on offense and you can't stop the run on defense? You're not going to be successful being that way.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very much. Look,
he's been calling for years telling us. He's down on the wide nine, Mark. Down on the wide nine.
I got a question for you.
Please.
Is the Javon Hargrave signing a bust?
Bust is a big word.
That's why I'm asking it.
I would say no. I'm not to bust levels yet, but I look at a front where you watch the defense break the huddle, and it's four guys on the line. You got two or three linebackers, depending on if it's base or if it's nickel. There's nothing different, nothing exotic. And you mentioned Brian Flores earlier, and Brock Purdy tipping his cap to Flores. When Minnesota breaks the huddle, sometimes you had eight guys on the line of scrimmage. Sometimes you had five. And the Niners yesterday tried to run some games where they would do a little bit of a zone blitz. A couple times Floyd dropped back in coverage and they brought Demo. A couple times they brought Fred. It's very vanilla. It's very bland. And so I don't know if it's the wide nine. I don't know if it's Hargrave only as the issue, but I see a defensive line when the ball snapped and you don't have a lot of forward movement. And this is an offensive line that had three backups on the Ram O-line, and you've got Hargrave making an eight-figure contract. Bosa's the highest paid at his position in football, and yet these guys can't get in there and dominate backups? That, to me, was the shocking part of it.
It's an eight-figure contract, but it's scratching the surface.
It's scratching nine. Hargrave,
four years, $84 million before last season. There is a potential out after the first 2 years. So that would be after this year. And I wouldn't make this comment or I wouldn't ask this question if we were just three games into the signing. But last year, you're right, bust is a big word, but I'll tell you what's an appropriate word, disappointing. It has been a disappointing signing so far. There's no question. I remember when Baldy came on this station and said that was his favorite signing by any NFL team of the entire offseason. It's been very, very disappointing.
Well, the whole idea was that he was going to be a disruptor in the middle, and that would allow Bosa to get home around the outside. And, you know, Bosa had a pretty good game yesterday. Not good based on what he's being paid, but I don't see a lot of help from Nick Bosa or for Nick Bosa on this D-line.